Welcome back, friends. So, a major topic taken up in this document, and friends, it hasn't, even though you probably have never heard it from the pulpit, that's why we're here. And I'm not going to be a pulpit beater. You know, frankly, we have to have a little bit more adulting. That's a word right now, right? We need to really develop our faith and not really expect the pulpit to just tell us everything we need to know. We need to have a little initiative. But frankly, if you're here listening to Sarah and I, you have a boatload of initiative. And even so, this topic I really didn't understand and know about to maybe about 5 years ago. So, and what is this topic? Masons, Freemasonry, and its condemnation. It is strongly condemned. Freemasonry had been under papal condemnation since the 17th century. Right, 1517, Martin Luther, 1717 is Freemasons, 1917 is Marxism. Beginning with Clement XII in Eminente in 1738, and reaffirmed by successive pontiffs, up to Pius the Ninth, but it goes even into Benedict's time. I mean, it doesn't stop the condemnation. So he was in harmony with his predecessors, who regarded Masonic influence as a significant factor in the spread of rationalistic, secular, and anti-clerical ideologies in Europe and Latin America. His syllabus of errors implicitly reinforces earlier condemnations by rejecting principles associated with Masonic political and philosophical agendas, particularly those undermining the church's authority and the public role of religion. And we ended off with this business about separation of church and state. Mason, that'd be Masonic, or whatever you want to do in your own privacy of your own home. I guess that's okay. That Sarah alluded to that. That too's that's an error. That's an error. The syllabus of error stands in continuity with the Council of Trent and earlier papal teaching, reaffirming the church's duty to guard divine revelation and moral law against distortion. The church's approach reflects a definitive posture rooted in centuries of doctrinal clarity, yet it also provided a reference point for later magisterial developments, such as Vatican II's Dignitatis Humanae, clarified the church's teaching on religious freedom, distinguishing between immunity from coercion in civil law and the moral obligation to seek the truth in Christ. The pontificate of St. Pius X extended the work of Pius IX by addressing the emerging threat of modernism. In Pascendi Dominici Gregis, 1907, and the Syllabus of Modernist Errors, Lamentae Sanae. So he too, Pius X, will also have the syllabus like Pius the Ninth does. Pius X built upon the anti-rationalistic and anti-indifferentist principles articulated in 1864, identifying new forms of theological error that sought to undermine both scripture and dogma from within. And I'll make a brief comment, then I'll let Sarah opine. I like to have tag words, right? I like to have them. So New Age or Darwinism or whatever the case may be, Masonic. Okay. And so I know that puts me on my attention and on my heels. Well, friends, we have to understand, we have to learn what the underlying thoughts that give rise to those terms, because those, as soon as evil sees that people have caught on to those terms as bad. I remember when New Age was a new thing and it was all the rage, but now people are on the heels and they hear New Age and they know it's bad. Well, New Age itself didn't necessarily change. The language describing it changes. So we really do have to have some adulting behaviors and look to see what are those underlying principles that the church is warning us about, so that regardless of what the label might be, we and our families can be protected against that.
And that's so true, right? Error to be protected against error, despite how it's marketed, right? This is kind of an aside, but I think that it kind of goes with it, right? The human being is particularly susceptible to marketing, and I think women more so than men, right? I remember when I was in college, there was a study that I read, that they had done this study, and in the first 10 randomized questions, right, depending upon which form of the survey you got, they asked women, would you be willing to wear a girdle? And something like 93% of the women said, no, I wouldn't wear a girdle, right? And then it was a series of 100 questions. And then in the last 10 questions, again, they were randomized. And one of the questions said, would you wear a body shaper? Right? And 93% of the women who said no to the girdle said yes to the body shaper. I mean, right, it's the same thing, right? I mean, so like people who would say no to New Age, oh no, I would never say no to New Age, might say yes to whatever the latest innovation of the term is, right? Because it's about marketing. And one of the things that we have to remember is that it's at the same time, right? Is it Pius X who also writes the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel, or am I getting my popes wrong?
No, Leo the
Leo, that's
13th. So
Leo,
we have
right.
Leo here in the middle, another stalwart.
But Leo himself, right, he understood, and in that prayer he tells us to defend us against Satan, who prowls around the world looking for souls to devour, right? I mean, Satan, being an angel, has no need to sleep, no need to eat, and he has only intellect, right? He only and his intellect is so far superior to ours. And an unsatiable appetite, right? Because only God can truly fill our appetite, right? If we don't have him as our end, we will be hungry forever, right? And so Satan is, he devours because he has no, there's no way to satiate him, and he has no need for sleep, and his intellect is very cunning. And so if Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola or the people who are doing their marketing understand how to manipulate the human condition to get one to prefer one drink over the other, right? If we can do that with our marketing, Satan is going to be eminently more capable. And I love that the line of C.S. Lewis, where he talks about when Satan sends evil into the world, he sends them in pairs that are polar opposites, so that our hatred of one will drive us to love the other, right? Satan doesn't care what evil we fall into, just as long as we fall into evil. And so your point about making sure that we have a sound understanding of what is going to be that underlying principle, right? That golden mean, right? That virtue that resides in between two opposite and equal vices, right? As long as we're rooted there, we will not either be drawn to the error of the left, right, which would be the error of the appetite, or the error of the right, which is going to be the error of the intellect. We will be able to be soundly based and rooted in the truth, and not easily tossed about by these elements that are trying to either pull us to our appetite or pull us to our intellectual pride.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, friends, let's pick up in the next episode, a continuation on the Syllabus of Errors, Pius the Ninth's fatherly
Magnum
work.
opus.
Magnum opus is correct.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for that. Till then, my friends, pides erratio.